at the World Trade Center Health Program affiliated with Stony Brook. The World Trade Center Health Program monitors the health of responders to 9/11 and also survivors in the area. And so I'll be presenting today on some initial data from a brief survey that we administered right after Hurricane Sandy to look at the impact of Hurricane Sandy on responders and also to start looking at associations with 9/11 PTSD symptoms. So this work was in part supported by a grant from the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. I'll briefly mention this project, which is currently underway towards the end of the presentation, where we're looking at the effects of Hurricane Sandy both on respiratory symptoms and PTSD symptoms longitudinally. So as many of you are well aware of, Hurricane Sandy was the largest Atlantic coast hurricane, resulting in 159 deaths according to the CDC. And most of those deaths were due to drowning. It's also the second costliest hurricane, right under Hurricane Katrina, resulting in $65 billion in damages. And in the picture there, you can see the eye of the hurricane hitting the East Coast. Sandy also resulted in mass destruction throughout the New York metropolitan area, also in New Jersey, destroyed the Jersey Shore. You'll see in the left-hand corner there is actually 110 homes that burned down in Breezy Point, an area in Queens. Trees were uprooted all throughout Long Island and Staten Island. One of the interesting things for me was driving around and seeing the displacement of boats. So random boats on people's properties, in the street, blocking traffic, which took quite a while to remove those boats. According to FEMA, more than 8.5 million customers were without power after Hurricane Sandy, many for weeks on end. And there was also a severe gasoline shortage, which added to a lot of the distress. I myself waited online for 8 hours to get gas, only to find that the delivery wasn't coming until the next morning. So people would just randomly get on a line on a block, and you wouldn't know actually where the gas station was, but you knew that the line was to get gas. So it was quite stressful during that time. So apparently hurricane names are reused every 6 years, and so the World Meteorological Organization actually retired the name Sandy, given how devastating it was. So after any disaster, it's really important that we try to understand how individuals were impacted and affected by the disaster, both at the individual level, the community level, focusing on health, and of course there's also an economic impact as well. This is really important for developing new assessments. How can we better understand how individuals are impacted? Also developing interventions, getting the word out before a disaster, like a natural disaster like a hurricane. Can we use social media and other types of tools, different prevention measures and intervention after disasters? And it's also important to understand some of the unique aspects of individual disasters. So there might be something specific, say, to a hurricane disaster versus a man-made disaster like the World Trade Center. In terms of Hurricane Sandy, many folks were exposed to psychological trauma, like losing their house, having their property severely damaged, injuries. There are a lot of financial hardships associated with the aftermath, and then potential exposures to environmental toxins. So one concern here was exposure to different molds and fungi after the hurricane due to all the floodwaters, and also dust from cleanup efforts. And months after the disaster, the New York State Department of Health actually issued a health advisory regarding respiratory health. One important aspect that is often neglected after disasters, unfortunately, is mental health. And we know that after disasters, both post-traumatic stress disorder and depression tend to be major problems. So in order to truly understand the effects on health, how disasters affect an individual's health, it's really important that we have some type of baseline assessment, which is often a very hard task that's usually not available. So few studies have been able to employ this type of pre to post methodological design. And one example is from Cerno and colleagues. They were able to utilize a large mental health assessment that was underway in Vietnam before the 2006 typhoon. And then they were able to reassess folks and were able to identify some risk factors for post-typhoon mental health, which included pre-disaster health, extreme pre-disaster fear, being injured during the disaster, and interestingly, religion had stood out as a protective factor. Carol North and colleagues, they also were able to look at predictors of post-disaster PTSD utilizing a combined data set of 10 disaster studies, and also were able to identify some risk factors as seen here. And interestingly, to point out, you know, pre-disaster psychopathology again stands out as a particularly risk factor for post-disaster PTSD. Now, one group that is particularly vulnerable for health problems after a disaster are those who respond to the disaster. So responders put themselves in harm's way. They're often exposed to, whether it be environmental toxins or psychological trauma, depending on the disaster. One example is responders to Hurricane Katrina. Many had witnessed injuries and death. A large majority also sustained damages to their own properties, but still put themselves in harm's way by responding. And in a study by West and colleagues, they found that 19% actually developed PTSD after Katrina, and 26% had developed depression. So again, underscoring the importance of mental health after disasters, especially for this group. Now, to our knowledge, there's only been one pre to post disaster study on responders' health. This was done by Aldrich with the World Trade Center responders, specifically firefighters. So they were able to utilize systematic occupational surveillance data that firefighters undergo regular screenings to look at lung functioning before that World Trade Center disaster and after the disaster. So in terms of the World Trade Center disaster, there is estimated to be over 90,000 folks who responded to the disaster in some way, whether it be cleanup services or aiding in helping out the folks who were participating in the cleanup services. And here many were exposed to toxic physical hazards, whether it be metals, chemicals, horrific traumatic events like body parts, or in many cases both. And after 9/11, the CDC established the World Trade Center health programs to monitor the health of responders and also survivors, and also to provide treatment for those with World Trade Center related conditions. So responders continue to experience chronic health problems, including respiratory problems, PTSD, depression, as well as gastroesophageal problems. And among those with symptoms, 20% actually have comorbid problems. And we focused a lot on examining the overlap between PTSD and lower respiratory symptoms. And some of our recent work has shown that PTSD actually predicts new onsets of lower respiratory symptoms. So possibly getting at an elevated stress response and how that might affect inflammation among folks with PTSD. And importantly, the literature has consistently pointed out that experiencing subsequent trauma and stress after an initial trauma can result in an exacerbation or reactivation of symptoms, especially in the case of PTSD. So with World Trade Center responders, it's particularly important to pay attention to additional stresses and trauma, especially among those with PTSD. So the Stony Brook World Trade Center Health Program, we have two clinics in Long Island, one in Suffolk County here, and the other in Nassau County here. And we monitor around 7,000 responders. And we have ongoing studies both on PTSD and respiratory health from an epidemiological standpoint and also an epigenetic examination. So immediately after Hurricane Sandy, we developed a brief Sandy assessment to study the impact that Sandy may have had on responders. And this survey was developed in part from surveys that were used during Hurricane Katrina and also some surveys from the CDC on assessing after disasters. So according to FEMA's list of zip codes of where people may have been impacted by Sandy, the majority of responders at our clinics live in Sandy impact zones, so potentially different levels of being affected from Sandy. And as I mentioned, responders come in yearly for monitoring visits, so we're able to tack on this Sandy survey to their monitoring visits, in addition to they complete a mental health packet of questionnaires, including the PTSD checklist. As part of our ongoing research studies, we also administer the structured clinical interview for DSM-IV mental health disorders. So in this initial look at the impact of Sandy, we had a sample of around 1,200 responders, most of which were male, Caucasian, and middle age. 6% met criteria for 9/11 related PTSD, and 13% of the sample identified Hurricane Sandy as a traumatic event. 6% met criteria for major depressive disorder, and interestingly, there was among those folks, 10% had new onsets of depression post-Sandy, and 9% reported that Sandy actually worsened their current depression. So I'm just going to go through some of the items on the survey, and this is an initial look at some of the data. So when asked about damage occurring to the area around where they lived, over 60% reported moderate to extreme damage, and just under 20% reported moderate to extreme damage to their home. Damage to possessions like cars and boats, 12% reported moderate to extreme damage, and 12% reported moderate to extreme financial hardships after Sandy. In terms of fear for their safety and their family safety, around 40% reported moderate to extreme fear, and just under 20% reported feeling a loss of control or a sense of helplessness around Sandy. As I mentioned, the gasoline shortage was a big stressor for folks, and here around 50% reported moderate to extreme worry about finding gasoline during Sandy. In terms of blame, folks weren't too happy with their utility companies. It took quite a while to restore power, and so around 45% reported moderate to extreme blame to the utility companies for the aftermath. And around half reported overall moderate to extreme disruption in their life due to Hurricane Sandy. And interestingly, over 60% reported that their experiences with 9/11 helped them to cope during the storm. So this might get out some the literature on post-traumatic growth and how individuals may use their experiences during traumatic events afterwards in a positive way. And here are some other stats around the responders in terms of impact. 45% were without power for more than a week. This was a responder population, so it's not surprising for me that 40% used a generator. These folks are usually pretty prepared. 11% reported evacuating, and of those who evacuated, almost 50% were out of their homes for more than 1 week. And interestingly, 50% reported being a responder in response to Hurricane Sandy as well. So responders often respond to other events as well, given their occupation or their inherent nature of wanting to help. So from this survey, we created an exposure composite variable based on some of the items that specifically got at impact from Sandy and different exposures. And we looked at the relationship with cross-sectional relationship with 9/11 PTSD symptoms, and as expected, there was a positive correlation here. We should caution on, you know, interpretations that could even be made of this correlation, given that it was taken at the same time. It's possible that folks with elevated PTSD symptoms were just more likely to rate things more negatively, given their health. But we'll be able to look at this longitudinally in the near future. We also looked at group differences between those with PTSD and without PTSD on these exposure variables. And overall, those with 9/11 related PTSD rated their exposures as more severe than those without PTSD. So in conclusion, it does appear that World Trade Center responders were significantly impacted by Hurricane Sandy. We still need to further understand how it actually impacted their health, which is our next steps here. And this really underscores the importance of assessment, ongoing assessment, especially among these populations of responders who might be at particularly elevated risk. And the World Trade Center Health Program also provides this nice naturalistic setting that we can continue to understand how responders are impacted by ongoing stressors. It's also important to think about how we might be able to intervene. So it's possible after disasters like this that we can meet with responders and go through positive coping skills to help build up resiliency, especially if they're going to be responding to multiple disasters. So in the World Trade Center Health Program, we're actually starting this mind-body clinical trial to examine how a mind-body treatment might help build resiliency among this population who's at risk for health problems. I'll just end with this slide. This is a chart of our ongoing study here. In this diagram, we'll be looking at pre-Sandy health data and post-Sandy data that we're currently collecting, and we'll also be using a more intensive, specific Sandy exposure questionnaire that was actually developed by the World Trade Center Health Registry to assess Sandy exposures and also expand this assessment to include environmental exposures like exposure to mold, so that we'll be able to try to more fully understand how Sandy might have actually impacted folks' health before after the hurricane. So I'll stop there. Thank you for your time. We don't currently have an assessment included in this study, but in our mind-body clinical trial study, we are including a post-traumatic growth measure, so we'll be able to look at that in that context.
Thank you.
I have a quick question. So you showed that the people who had PTSD during 9/11 reported were more likely to report PTSD symptoms subsequently. Or you listed a number of those factors where they were more likely to report them, such as like damage to their household, right?
Reporting it as more the folks with 9/11 related PTSD reported those exposures as being more severe for them.
Right. So the assumption is they have some predisposition, whether it might be earlier PTSD. Or it could be something like a genetic predisposition, and you reference some type of gene environment stuff you're doing. So could you just describe what you're doing there? Are you collecting biosamples, or what are you doing?
Sure. So the first thing is, you know, it is possible, which we'll be able to see with the pre-disaster health data, that folks might have been folks with ongoing PTSD or elevated symptoms may have had their symptoms exacerbated by their exposures. So that's one thing that we'll be able to look at. In terms of biomarkers, we collect blood samples on all of our patients now for an epigenetic study, which is really looking at how different markers on genes might regulate the immune system in people with and without PTSD, and how we might also understand the development of respiratory problems by looking at some of these different genes. So that is just starting. We're just starting to look at some of the data for that now.
Sounds great. Yeah.
But it's interesting to think about, you know, the role of even personality factors in this, you know, too, in terms of what you're talking about, that innate response maybe to over-report or being more emotional or dysregulated more given to some genetic factors.
All right, thank you.